Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Talking the Draft Podcast. I'm your host, Connor Livesey, here with my co-host today, Joey Ikes, and we're going through some scenarios. We're really closing in on draft weekend. We're about a month out now, a little less than a month out now, so we're going to go through some scenarios, and this will be Dallas Cowboys related, but could be useful for some other teams and other fans of other teams as well. With that, you know, month out feel, there's a lot of names that we're starting to kind of circle as being options in, you know, each pick in each round. So I figured we'd go through a couple different scenarios today and figure out which one we like the most. But before we do that, Joey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, it's a fun time where we're between the combine and these 30 visits and things really kicking off, and we got pro days and stuff like that. So still some fun information coming through. And it's going to be fun to look at some of these scenarios here.
Yeah, no doubt. It's definitely crunch time. I'm trying to get my draft guide finished up, and time of year now where you time of the draft cycle too, where you start, you know, working away from some names, start circling some others. And that's what I thought was kind of a perfect time. It's kind of been a slower news week for the Cowboys in general too. So nothing to really touch on. So I figured, you know, let's talk about some of this, some of these scenarios that I keep mentioning. So we're going to go through four round scenarios for the Cowboys today. Obviously, you guys kind of got an idea of the positions we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about some defensive linemen, some offensive linemen, some running backs, some receivers, and some tight ends. That's kind of the main focus, sprinkling in some linebackers and some, maybe some corners as well. But let's start. We'll just go scenario by scenario. The first one up we were going to start with, and this is one that you actually inspired this one. We'll compare these two first, and that's Mozzie Smith in round one, Joe Tippmann in round two, Cedric Tillman in round three, and then Keandre Miller in round four. So that gives you a defensive tackle, a interior offensive lineman, a wide receiver, and a running back. Just go through and kind of give us some thoughts on some of those players and what you think and where you're at with them.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's interesting about this group is, and this will be maybe one of the things that will be interesting as we unpack this, is that two of these four players are guys that I really enjoy, and I would love if they were part of the Cowboys, you know, draft haul coming up next month. And that's Joe Tippmann and Keandre Miller, right? Is that Tippmann's fun because he's, you know, he's a Wisconsin center, right? He's big. He's like 6'6", which is unusual, but he's just extremely solid. There's not a whole lot flashy, right? We're not talking about Quentin Nelson at Notre Dame where he's pancaking dudes and teabagging them and, like, you know, celebrating after the play or anything. But he just, every play, just blocks his dude. Like, every play he gets to where he's supposed to be, and every play he gets between the guy he's blocking and the ball. And that's, you know, really and truly, that's exactly what you're asking an offensive lineman to do. And then Keandre Miller's an extremely fun running back from TCU who is – probably getting, if I remember right, he got hurt towards the end of the year in the college football playoff. And so maybe getting a little undersold because he didn't get that big national stage game against Georgia that he could have performed well in, and gotten some more buzz, even though TCU got run out of the building in that one. But I think the third and the fourth round guys in this group are a little underappreciated for who they are for different reasons in Tillman and Miller. And it's just the one part of this that I can't get over is, and I feel like I'm sort of alone in this situation right now, is I don't see it with Mozzie Smith at all. I just don't. Like, I don't see a guy who really positively impacts a game on a down-to-down basis. What was funny, I was talking about Tippmann and how every play he just blocks his dude and it's no big deal. It's not flashy. And it's sort of, I sort of see that on the other side of the line of scrimmage with Mozzie Smith, is that he just gets blocked. Like, just very regularly, he just gets blocked and doesn't really, he doesn't, he is very clearly a very good athlete, but that doesn't translate to impacting the football play on a down-to-down basis. And so I just don't see it. And I've had John Owning, our good buddy, yell at me about Mozzie. I've asked so many people, what's the game that I need to watch to see it with him? Because it's funny, I almost wind up watching way more film on guys that I see
Right.
differently than the rest of the people. And that's been, I've seen more Mozzie Smith defensive tape this year than anybody else, for sure. And I don't see it. I don't see the guy who is worth the 26th pick in the draft to come play nose tackle, who I just don't know how he impacts the game in a positive way more than guys who you could get later in the draft, or guys who are still available in free agency, et cetera. So
I
that's
get my and you're not, I don't think you're totally wrong. I mean, there's, I think a lot of what the Mozzie Smith hype and upside there is just that. And it's kind of what we went through with Micah Parsons a couple of years ago, where you're like, he's got all the traits in the world to be a dominant player at the position. Now, we didn't, I think even when you turned on Micah Parsons tape from a couple of years ago, you went, he's a good linebacker. I'm not sure he's an elite linebacker. Like, there was trouble, struggles there with some of the awareness and anticipation and instincts on that second level. And, they obviously moved him a completely different position, and you're letting him unlock those traits. And while you're not moving Mozzie Smith to a completely different position, I do think there's enough of his game that shows, okay, he was good at Michigan, not great, but the traits are special. And if we can coach him up, if you could get him with a Dan Quinn, with a defensive coaching staff that's able to teach him, some of these traits, that you could get a quote unquote special player, kind of similar to what they did with Micah Parsons. But I mean, like I said, you're not wrong. Like, when you turn on the tape now, you're hoping for more splash plays, and they don't show up consistently enough. And I think that's why you're talking about, I think he's Bruce Feldman's number one freak athlete on the freak athlete list he does. And that's why you're talking about a guy like that, at the back end of the first round, and not, where Derrick Brown got drafted a couple of years ago as a nose tackle. I mean, for me, like I said, I like Mozzie Smith. He doesn't have a first round grade for me, but he's, in that 30-ish range for me, where it's like, I would like that pick there at a position that honestly, I like it because I feel like they're changing their thought process on defensive tackles, maybe more than the player itself. But I think the upside is absolutely there with him. So I think you're drafting a guy who, what we talked about last week, could come in, could be a starter for you, be a big, piece for you, which is something we kind of touched on last week, that you don't really have many of those holes in your roster. And then again, if Quinn's able to get his hands on him and really coach him up, the upside is, obviously, I don't think there's no denying that there's a lot of upside to unlock there if he's able to reach his ceiling.
Yeah, I think the athletic ability is probably what makes you believe that there's a chance that he turns into more than what he is.
Right.
And and when I talk to, like I said, I talk to guys like John and stuff like that, and they make good points about the scheme that he's playing in and things like
Sure.
that. But I mean, if he's playing nose tackle here, he's a plug guy here too. Like, that's how they play their nose here, is he's a plug. And I just don't see, if he weighed 20 pounds less and there was a, hey, you could move him to three technique and he could really be an explosive guy who gets up the field, and he just didn't get to play that role, I could almost see that translation more than I could see it as, yeah, he played true nose in a 4-point frog stance at Michigan, and
Right.
he's going to play a true nose here in a 3-point stance, but we're going to significantly change the way he plays. I just don't know that I see it, and I also don't know that like the production at or behind the line of scrimmage isn't very good. But like there's just a lot for me that just is sort of big questions about Mazi that I could absolutely be wrong there, just like I was wrong on Micah Parsons, not because I was wrong on the evaluation of him as a linebacker, but just because until when Jerry Jones said the word on draft night, we'll roll it back a little bit here. When he said the words on draft night that we think he's a pressure player, I sort of went back and relooked at it under the idea that maybe they look at him like Vic Beasley when
Right.
playing a different role. And I was like, okay, I see it. Like I could see him being productive. But I don't know that that's in the cards for Mazi. Like, I don't know that there's that much of a change from what he was doing in college to what he'd be asked to do in Dallas that allows me to feel like, okay, I can see a big change coming here. I just it might be a blind spot for me. I'll fully acknowledge it for sure.
And I guess, I mean, before we move on to some of these other players and situations. I guess for me too, the one thing that I'll say is, like, while he has that nose tackle frame at 6'3", 323, I don't disagree with you where, I mean, he doesn't have to play his nose tackle. You know, like he could be a guy who he might be better as a three technique because he's, you know, a little bit bigger there, and then let the athleticism play a little bit more without having to deal with the, you know, the double teams as much and having to be that force run player. You know, obviously he's a little bit bigger than most of your prototypical three techniques, but that could be a spot where he fits in there a little bit better because he's able to just get up the field a little bit more, not focus so much on, you know, run fits and run lanes and two gapping, whatever that is. So, no, I mean, like I said, I think don't totally disagree with your stance on him. I feel like the tapes leaves you with a little bit, you know, you wish there was a little bit more there, but I think you kind of got to project with him a little bit. But definitely agree with the Tippmann pick. I mean, I think Tippmann's a guy that, you know, I talked with was talking with Jeff Cavanaugh the other day on Twitter, and you know, he's like, man, I hate this class because you need a left guard. But I don't. I mean, I think with Steve Avila, Cyrus Torrence, like those are your two kind of first round options, and then you get into the second round, and you got that you there's not too many of those pure guard prospects that are just they were plug and play left guards in college and they're going to be plug and play left guards in the NFL. But there's a lot of these centers that you can move over to guard. There's a lot of these tackles that you can move inside to guard. So I actually don't hate it. And I think Joe Tippmann, you know, at 58 overall would be a really good pick because that gives you a what I think a plug and play left guard in 2023. And then if you don't want to end up having to pay Tyler Biotish in the next year or so, you move him over to center, and then you worry about left guard next year. And again, we you know you don't want to have to keep drafting the same positions over and over. But if you're trying to, you know, make smart decisions on contracts and maybe let a guy like Tyler Biadasz walk like he did Tyler Connor McGovern this year, that's something that could be in the cards and be in the plans. But I'm a big Cedric Tillman fan. I feel like I've expressed that multiple different times. He would fit in perfectly in this offense as a true X receiver, something this offense really doesn't have right now. Big body, athletic, field stretcher, physical dude. Just love his 2021 tape, and some of that start to the 2022 season. I just think shows you a prototypical X receiver that can do a lot of good things on the boundary. While he's not a freak athlete, he's a really good athlete, above average athlete. He's got really good size. He's really physical. And that's just something we've lacked from that X receiver for a while now. Just even when Michael Gallup's been good, he's been a ball winner. He's been a little bit of a field stretcher, but he's always kind of just lacked that like physical nature that you really love from your X receivers. So I think he'd be a really good addition in this offense. And then Kondre Miller, TC running back, I think is a guy who has that three down back ability, you know, explosive, good runner, good receiver. Pretty good in pass protection. So it's like he's a guy who I think you can get you know, late day two, early day three, and just feel really happy with is maybe he doesn't play that three down back for your role in year one, but if you needed him to, he probably could, and he could probably do a really good, damn good job at it. So,
Yep, absolutely. And it's insurance against an extended recovery from Tony Pollard on the running back spot, or you know, he's been banged up for a game or two pretty much every year the last few years. And so if that happens to him in 2023 when he's supposed to be the guy who carries the load, having a guy like Kendre Miller behind him would sure as heck be nice, a lot better than, or you'd probably feel a lot better than just having Ronald Jones as your only option behind him for sure.
Right. Well, cool. Let's look at scenario two. And that is Steve Avila in round one, Sam Laporta in round two, Demarion Overshown in round three, and then Trey Palmer in round four. So that gives you versatile offense lineman, probably a plug and play left guard for you. Sam Laporta, in my opinion, a plug and play tight end for you. I think he could really walk in year one and be your best tight end. Overshown is a athletic, undersized, quick, fast linebacker. Kind of the type of guys they like to draft. That's got some size, but more so of that athletic profile that they like to go after. And then Trey Palmer, a guy who can play kind of all over the place out of Nebraska, tested really well, and would be a good addition to this wide receiver room. Who stands out to you in this group? I mean, obviously we've talked a lot. Fans have talked about, and we've talked a lot about Avila over the last couple of weeks. So I don't want to spend too much time on him, but some of these other guys that you feel like could, come in and be difference makers, or maybe some guys that you don't like quite as much.
Yeah, I think this one is an interesting group because the first round pick on Avila makes you make some decisions on the offensive line that it seems like there's a lot of confusion maybe within the building about what they're going to do at the offensive line. And if you spend a first round pick on an offensive lineman, especially one who is a he's a left guard. Like, that's what he is. He's a guard. And so that really clears up a lot on the interior. And then it makes you, now you've got questions to ask about, okay, who's the swing tackle? Who's your starting right and left tackles, et cetera. But behind him, Laporta comes in. He's probably better than Ferguson and Hendershot were last year. I always say Fergashot, like, because they're the same person to me.
Right.
Like, they're the same player, which is funny because one you got in the fourth round and one was undrafted. But he's probably better now than those guys were this time last year. But with a year of experience, they both got pretty decent amount of playing time and stuff like that. They're probably three relatively equal players at that point. So now you've got a three-way tight end battle in a world where you want to play a lot of 12 personnel. It's not a bad thing. And then Overshown is like, you sort of nailed it. He's the profile they like to draft a lot. I wonder if they feel like the third round is too high to do that. Usually that happens in the fourth or fifth round. We've
Sure.
seen, Jabril Cox, we've seen Damone Clark, we've seen they draft a fifth round linebacker every year, it seems like. So it really depends on how much of a need they see that being coming off of bringing LVE back on a couple of year deal and what they saw from Damone Clark last year. And Palmer's a guy I don't really know all that much about, but when you look at some information and all that kind of stuff on him, he's definitely one of those interesting early day three players that you just feel like the possibilities are sort of wide open there in terms of what he becomes at the NFL level. And maybe that's the right approach to the position this year, given, where the depth chart is at this point in time.
Yeah, and I mean, touch on Palmer. He's a guy who, even with Cooks, who's bringing some added juice. Palmer's a 6 foot, 192-pound guy who runs a 4.33 with a 1.51, 10-yard split. So he's a explosive, quick, fast athlete that can. He's lined up kind of all over, in the offense, for Nebraska. So he's played some in the slot, played some as an X, played some as a Z. So he's kind of moved all around, which I think is important. This team seems to like guys who can play multiple roles and play multiple spots on the field in their offense. So if they're not looking for that prototypical X guy, they're probably going to look for a guy who can play all three spots, and helps kind of spell some of the CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks, and give some time for Michael Gallup to get himself back into, shape and get rolling. So this one isn't like overly exciting, but I actually like this one quite a bit because I feel honestly like you could get four, I'm not gonna say four starters because it's hard to see Trey Palmer starting in this offense with what it looks like, but four guys who could be big contributors and be big additions to your team. Like I said, even if Palmer wouldn't be a big contributor, I feel like what he would bring is like a vertical player with that 4, 4.2, 4.3 speed is something that they still don't have yet. We'll see what Brandon Cooks is and see what he's able to do in this offense. But a guy who you know coming in as that athletic, explosive, fast guy. And I'm really high on Laporta. Like we talked about Kincaid. You know, Kincaid's not testing this cycle, so there's a real good shot that Laporta could be my fourth, even possibly third tight end in this class.
Yeah, he's a really good player, and he's, you know, it's
Great
a little bit
athlete.
unfortunate because he played at Iowa where they, you know, couldn't move the ball,
Right.
but you know, you watch him play and he's definitely a bright spot on a really, really bad offense. That it's easy to see, and you know, we talk about Wisconsin offensive linemen, you could say the same thing about Iowa tight ends, right? It's easy to see guys from their offense translating to the NFL and doing it at a relatively early point in time in their career.
Yeah, we talked about it some last week, so I'm not going to hammer on it too much. But to be a dynamic tight end in the NFL, you got to either be really athletic, you got either really got to be good after catch, or you got to be the George Kittle type, Rob Gronkowski type, where you can line up as a Y, you can line up as a slot, you can be that mismatch. I think Laporta is that type of guy. Like he's a pretty good blocker. I think that's the area he has to really improve on. But his athleticism and his ability to make plays after the catch are top notch. And I think if you're spending, you know, I'm not comparing him to Travis Kelce, but that athleticism that you see Laporta play with and his ability to make plays after the catch, it gives you like some of those Travis Kelce vibes when he was coming out of college in his early career age before he developed into probably the one of the greatest tight ends of all time. So
Yeah, you know, not a big comp at all. We've thrown a couple of tight end comps around the last couple of weeks that are, you know, pretty significant, and we'll get to
yeah,
that
so let's get into that. Our
one
third
in
scenario is Darnell Washington, the Georgia tight end in round one, John Michael Schmitz in round two, the interior offensive lineman out of Minnesota, Darius Rush in round three, and then Owen Popoa in round four. So this is similar vibe to the last one that we talked about. You're getting an offensive lineman, you're getting a tight end, you're getting a corner that we haven't talked about yet, and then a linebacker. Just come kind of in some different rounds. We talked a lot about Darnell Washington last week, so we'll briefly kind of touch on him. But I think the John Michael Schmitz conversation kind of falls in with the Joe Tippmann conversation, where you get a guy who's center in college, could play some guard in the NFL, brings that, you know, option for you next year when Tyler Biadasz is due for extension. But I do want to talk about Darius Rutschman and Owen Popoa, who are two guys who are athletes. I think the corner position, while they did add Stephon Gilmore, could be a little bit more of a position of need that we're not for down the road. You know, it really this year coming up, it's not a big thing, but you're you know, next year if Stephon Gilmore's not here, Trayvon Diggs, is he gonna be around? Is he gonna be extended? What's his deal gonna be? I think adding a corner like Rush's caliber, if he's around at that third round pick, would just be huge for the future of this team. So, which you got on this scenario here?
Yeah, so Darnell Washington, obviously, he's my favorite of the four first round picks. And I think if you talk about the last one, our scenario two, that group is probably the one that you come out feeling the least excited about. Like you look at it and you go, you know what? It sort of reminds me of 2018 a little bit, where we left the first four rounds of that draft and we're like, you know what? There's probably several guys on there that will be starters and contributors on this team, even if it's not exciting.
Right.
You know, there's, you know, Leighton Vander Esch and, you know, and Connor McGovern was in that group, I believe. You know, all those sorts of things. Like you get through that group and you're like, you know, it's not a super exciting group, but there's some guys in here that can play and that will help your team. This one, you come out of that first day and you feel like you've got you have a borderline star on your team. Like you got the opportunity to have a legitimate, like big time superstar on your team. And then to be able to come back and follow that up with John Michael Schmitz, and you covered it pretty well. He's a smaller version of Joe Tippmann in that played center, could probably play some guard, but he's almost definitely your center of the future. And we saw the Eagles use a day two pick on their center of the future last year and hardly play, like didn't play at all, but was able to work out. And as soon as their Kelce moves on, they have a guy that they can plug in and play there. And so you have the same opportunity to do that with Schmitz, even if you decide, okay, Tyler Smith is better suited to play guard than he is right now. And then Darius Rush is a great point that you make, and that we're in an unfortunate position where the Cowboys have used a lot of second and third round picks on corners over the last few years.
Right.
And other than Trevon Diggs, none of them have really worked out to the level that you would hope they would. You know, they were planning on Kelvin Joseph being a 2 year starter by now, and like really being a rock solid piece of this defense. Nashon Wright, they were planning on him, you know, really showing the upside, and neither of those things has really happened all that much. Having Deron Bland is a huge boon, but a 6'2" corner like Darius Rush and the athleticism that he has, and just the ability that he's shown over the course of his career at South Carolina. They have a pretty good record with South Carolina defensive players in terms of liking cornerbacks from there, between J.C. Horn and Izzy Mukwamu. That's definitely a third-round pick that if he's there in that range, I could absolutely see them making that pick. And so those three guys really are, you know, the guys who make up the exciting part of the class. And I think that would be a pretty, you know, that would be a pretty exciting group to go with. And then, you know, Popoa, the linebacker, is they're going to pick a middle round linebacker.
Yeah.
And so pick your name. You know, he's 6'2" and he's an athlete, right? So pick him and put him in there. And at the very least, he'll be a special teams player very early in his career. And if he develops in the right way, then he and, you know, Damone Clark are fighting for reps really early in his career at linebacker next to Leighton Vander Esch.
Are you ready for me to just terrify everybody real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
I honestly, so again, you got to understand what I'm saying here, people. So please don't freak out. But I honestly see a lot of Kelvin Joseph in college and Darius Rush's game. Like, I was pulling it up. Like, when I watch, again, Kelvin, I don't think Kelvin Joseph has panned out in the NFL because he doesn't have the skills and the talent. He just hasn't panned out in the NFL because a lot
that
of
happens.
Mental capacity and just maturity and all of those things. So, I mean, Kelvin Joseph 6'1", 192, Darius Rush 6'2", 198. Both really good athletes coming out of, you know, college. That was one thing that Kelvin Joseph was, you know, touted on, is that he was a great athlete, really smooth athlete, really fluid athlete. And Darius Rush checks all those boxes. Obviously, Darius Rush has a little bit more arm length than Kelvin Joseph did coming out, but just watching those guys, like, you know, I remember watching Kelvin Joseph against Alabama. What was it? What the game that everybody talks about? Was it Devontae Smith that he had a really good game?
Yep,
I think it was Devontae
absolutely.
Smith. Like, watching Kelvin Joseph at his best against, like, Devontae Smith that game, I remember, and then watching Darius Rush on film and then some of those Senior Bowl reps, I just went, man, this reminds me of these really good Kelvin Joseph games that I used to watch when he was coming out of college at LSU and Kentucky and all that. And it's just, it hasn't panned out for Kelvin Joseph yet, but Darius Rush seems like a lot safer prospect because of the lack of character, the lack of, you know, maturity and concerns that we had with Kelvin Joseph. But I like this group a lot too. Like you said, I mean, Owen Popoa's a guy at Auburn who is, I mean, at worst, he's going to be your special teams ace for 4 years because he's super athletic, a physical guy for his size. And I think his traits, we talked about it, his traits are a guy that if you can get a linebacker that runs like he runs, that flies around like he flies around, Cowboys are going to be interested in those guys in that fourth, fifth round range. And he fell in that range here for us. John Michael Schmidt's another guy. His biggest knock is he's an older prospect. You know, he's going to be 24 his rookie year. So, you know, you're worried about what his ceiling's able to get into, but I think he's a guy who he's really good at center, but I think he's a guy you could play a left guard, have him figure out if that's a position for him. And if not, like you said, you know, move on from Tyler Biotis next year, punch him into center, and you feel really happy about your center position going forward. But let's close it out with the fourth one. And this is a pretty exciting one too. This actually is, I think this would be my favorite. Even with Darnell Washington going, you know, in our third one, our fourth one, Broderick Jones, the tackle out of Georgia, who has some guard flexibility. I'll mention that because people are going to be like, why are we drafting another tackle in the first round? Because I think he could play left guard for you and be a damn good left guard. Devin Achane out of Devon Achane out of Texas A&M. I know you'll have a lot to say about him. Luke Schoonmaker out of Michigan, who's another one of my favorite tight ends in this class. And then Kobe Turner out of Wake Forest is another guy that I know you're going to want to talk about a little bit too.
Yeah, absolutely. And this one's another interesting one because you probably come out of this one, like you said, okay, they drafted another first round offensive lineman. He's a guy who has tackle flexibility. He's probably competing for left guard snaps early in his career. Like a very straightforward explanation for the first couple of years of his career. And then you get into the second, third, and fourth round, and that's where it sort of gets exciting. And that Devon Achane is a dynamic this offense has not had in a long time. People talk about Tony Pollard being a fast, explosive, elusive running back. Devon Achane is in another class in that aspect. World-class speed, who is a football player, not who happens to play football, who is a football player who happens to have world-class track and field speed. And then Schoonmaker is interesting because I feel like you could put him in a police lineup with all three of the Cowboys tight ends that they have on their roster right now, and probably half of the other tight ends in this draft class. And if you put them in a police lineup with no uniforms on, you probably couldn't tell them apart. Like they're all the same dude. They're all, 6'3" to 6'5", 240 to 250 pounds, and they all do a little bit of all the things on the football field that you want a guy to do. And when you take a guy like that in the third round, that's perfectly fine. And that's, to be honest, that's why I've been so, with the exception of Darnell Washington, so much of a proponent of weight on tight end, because there's so many of these guys who can sit down in zone coverage and catch the ball and then go get 5 or 6 yards after the catch that you don't need to spend up for one unless they are legitimately special in all aspects of the game. So Schoonmaker is a perfectly legitimate third round, late day two, early day three tight end prospect. And then Kobe Turner is, I said it on Twitter the other day, and I'll say it here. I would rather draft Kobe Turner in the fourth round than draft Mazi Smith in the first round. And there's two aspects of that. One is because there's a significant cost difference, obviously. The other is that I don't think that there is 100 picks worth of difference between those two guys as players. Mazi is obviously a bigger player than Kobe Turner is, but Turner holds up against down blocks. He holds up against double teams. The tackle for loss production is through the roof compared to what Mazi Smith's is. He played at multiple levels in college, played at Richmond, and then moved up to Wake Forest this past year, and was just an extremely stable, productive player on the interior defensive line. That you draft him in the fourth round, and he comes in and is an immediate contributor on the interior defensive line for the Cowboys in 2023, and the truth is, there's just not that many spots where that's the truth, and there's not that many players where that's the case. It's probably running back, maybe tight end, and probably interior defensive line. And those are probably the three spots that you really have a chance to get a fourth round, like real life contributor for this team in 2023. And so Kobe Turner is one of my favorite players in the draft class, just because he's just a guy who's going to get in there. He's going to do the dirty work in the defensive line, but he's also going to be productive while he does it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm in a spot right now. So I'm finalizing some of my grades. Like I said, trying to get this draft guide finished. So Broderick Jones might end up being my top ranked tackle. I know that
Wow.
might sound crazy with Peter Skoronski and Paris Johnson Jr., but I truly love watching Broderick Jones play left tackle for Georgia this year. I mean, I think his tape this year was. I think it was just, I mean, great. And like I said, it's he's in a position where he's got a frame that he's just going to continue to get better. He's a redshirt sophomore, so he's young. He's got like I said, a 6'5", 311-pound frame, so he's going to continue to get stronger. This just, I mean, I know the like famous comp for him is Andrew Thomas, but like this feels like Andrew Thomas. Like where in year one, you're kind of like, man, it didn't really turn out to what we thought he'd be. And then year two, you're like, all right, this guy's one of the best left tackles in the league. And obviously you're drafting him, to probably play some guard for you, which you could get in the conversation where you go, hey, well, who's the better left tackle, Tyler Smith or Broderick Jones? Do we move Tyler Smith to be that guard? Whatever that is. But I just wonder if you get into this was kind of like the best player available, theory where it was like, hey, we get to 26 overall and somehow Broderick Jones has made it all the way down to you. You got some holes on the offensive line. Do you spend that valuable pick on a guy that you just didn't think would be there? And honestly, with him, if I was in that draft room, I'd be spending that pick on him and I'd be making it work between him and Tyler Smith at left tackle and left guard. But Devon Achane, like you kind of touched on all that, just a dude who's going to be fast. He's going to be explosive. He's going to be a receiver for you, going to be a running back for you. And while, the pass protection, I think, is something that he'll need to develop and get better at, it's just he has those three down traits and he does it at an explosive and fast level. And that is extremely valuable at that position. Then Luke Shoemaker is a guy that I just, his tape's fun and then his testing is just phenomenal. I mean, he tested as the 16th best tight end out of 1,054 tight ends from 1987 to 2023, according to, Math Bomb, Kentley Plata, his RAS, relative athletic score. He posted a 6.813 cone and a 4.27 short shuttle, which is just insane. Ran a 4.63 40, a 1.59 10-yard split, had a 10.7 broad jump, which is phenomenal for a guy his size and his position, and a 33.5-inch vertical at 6'5", 251. So we talked about it earlier with guys like Laporta and Washington. If you can get dynamic athletes at the tight end position that are quality blockers and good receivers that offer some of those dynamic athletic skill sets or physical skill sets, it's spend the pick on them. And it normally pans out pretty well for you, whether that's in the first, second, or third, fourth round. And then Kobe Turner, you touched on it, just a very quality player on the interior, guy who's probably not going to be a Hall of Famer, and he might not ever make any Pro Bowls or All Pros, but he's going to be a guy who's going to play plenty of snaps for it. Kind of gives you the Oso Digizuo vibes, honestly, a guy who's going to be a consistent, just reliable force for you on the interior. He's going to make plays behind the line of scrimmage, not going to get washed around or knocked out of many running lanes, and he's going to provide some pass rush for you, which is something that, they kind of need on that interior along with Osa. So which one? We got to pick one now. What scenario are you taking?
I got to pick one. I'm probably going to take in this situation, I'm probably taking our third group, and that's the Darnell Washington, Michael Schmitz, Darius Rush, Popola group. And the reason why is I just think the And the other one would probably be my second choice, would be the one with Broderick Jones, for the reason why you talked about is that is the idea of maybe he's a guard early in his career, or maybe, like you said, it's never a problem to have too many
No.
good offensive tackles. And it gives you the option of, Tyron Smith's career is going to be over in the next couple of years. There's a really good chance Zach Martin's career is over sometime within this first round pick's rookie contract. There, Tyler Biotish is very likely not a part of the Cowboys after the next year or two, just because of the number of guys they have to sign, the way they like to bring their guys back, how they like to handle that. And then Terrence Steele is a restricted free agent this year. But if he becomes the swing tackle this year, like they're talking about, or if they try him at guard and bouncing back and forth and all that kind of stuff, you can just about guarantee he leaves in free agency next year, because he's not going to sign up to be here long term to get bounced around when when he just saw, Kansas City pay a former right tackle $20 million a year to play left tackle for them. Or, he's not going to sign up for getting bounced around for his entire career here, when he can go some, and especially it's important to remember he was an undrafted free agent. He has not made money yet. The most money he will make will be this year on the, $2.5 million or $3 million that he'll get on the restricted free agent. And they're not going to have a tag available to use on him next year, because they're going to wind up having to use it on somebody else, in order to keep that guy around. And so I think if you just keep stacking offensive linemen, you'll be just fine, especially guys who have the ability to play tackle or guard. Gives you a lot of flexibility. But, the Achane thing is interesting, because I wonder if he'll even be somebody they consider because of the size. And as much, and he is very clearly showed it throughout the entire year last year at A&M. Very clearly a capable interior runner who is capable of taking a very heavy load as a running back. But, you know, some of these guys in these buildings are very particular about their size and specific players, and they like their 6 foot, 215 pound running backs, and that is not who Devon Achane is. So it'll be interesting there. But I think Darnell Washington just has the star power to make his group the preferred group almost no matter what. And then when you add Darius Rush in the third round and what he potentially brings as an up and coming promising corner, I think that group probably takes the cake for me. What about you?
I think from a value standpoint, it would be the Broderick Jones, Devon Achane, Luke Schoonmaker, and Kobe Turner. But from a total package standpoint, and the only reason I say that is because Darnell Washington's my 24th overall player. So I'm speaking out of, you know, what I would like more at this point, but Darnell Washington's my 24th overall player. I have John Michael Schmitz at, let's see where he fell for me. I have him as my 45th overall player. I have Darius Rush is my 59th overall player, and then Owen Popoa is just outside of my top 100. So, I mean, that's really good value too, but just the broader, I mean, like I said, like I don't know if many people like Broderick. I mean, right now, Broderick Jones is my 10th overall player in this class. So getting your 10th overall player at 26, like that definitely excites me. Devon Achane is my 55th. Luke Schoonmaker is my 75th. And then Kobe Turner is just outside of my top 102. So the value is kind of very close for those two groups, but getting that 10th overall player for me at 26 would probably be the better value. But I honestly like, and no offense, but I like that third draft more just because I hope they don't spend a top 100 or top four round pick on a running back. I really do. Mainly because I don't think they need one. I think Tony Pollard and Malik Davis and Rico Dowdle and Ronald Jones are more than good enough. If you can get a guy to fall to you, you know, 129, or I mean, I've talked about this on here with you a little bit, but like if Eric Gray goes in these drafts where he goes on PFF and all that, where you can get Eric Gray in the fifth round or sixth round, sign me the hell up, because I think that guy is going to be really good in the NFL. So you throw that third group with you throw Eric Gray in there with the next pick in the fifth round, I'll write that check right now. No problem.
Yeah,
I'll even pass on the Broderick Jones, you know, the fall there to get a guy like Eric Gray, who's also, he's right inside my top 100. He's my 100th overall player, Eric Gray. So if I can get him at 159 or whatever it is, I'm good.
and you probably will be able to.
Yeah, which blows my mind. I don't get it. Like, I don't understand it at all. But
it just goes back to that same conversation that we have all the time about that position, is that, like, there's just so many of them that come out of college football who can just carry the ball. And there's only so many of them are going to get drafted, because there's still so many of them in the league that can carry the ball too.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of runners in this class. We'll kind of close it out with this, but there's just a bunch of runners in this class that are projected to go, you know, mid to late day three, that I'm like, I think that guy very comfortably in the fourth round and be, you know, Eric Gray's a 4.38 runner, a 37.5-inch vertical, a 9.10 broad, 155, and a 6.90 three cone. Like, he's athletic. He's got that, you know, 5'10-ish, 200-pound build, can catch the football. Just, again, like, I hate to go on an Eric Gray rant because he wasn't even in any of our scenarios, but just that – it's a player that, like I said, if you don't go running back in rounds 1, 2, 3, or even 4 – getting that guy in the fifth round would be an absolute steal, and be happy with it.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
All right. Well, that is the end of this. We have our another interview we got with Trey Tucker, the Cincinnati slot receiver and special teams ace. We're going to put that on coming up here in a second. So make sure you guys stick around and tune into that. We have another few interviews we're going to work on over the next month and get a couple more guys on that we're excited to talk to. But the month is here. Draft month is, we're into draft month, and it'll be here before we know it. So we have Man, it's crazy. We only have probably four more shows left until the draft gets here. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
So it's been a fun cycle so far, and we hopefully we'll close it out as fun as we started. Like I said, stick around. Trey Tucker, Cincinnati wide receiver, is on the show, and make sure you tune into that. And we will see you guys next week on the Talking the Draft podcast.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's SYLVAN29.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I'm joined by Cincinnati wide receiver Trey Tucker. Trey, man, what's going on?
What's good? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great.
I know you're next week. You got a combine or the pro day coming up. You kind of just getting back from the combine, resetting from that. You excited to get back to Cincinnati and do some things on your own field?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I haven't been there in a few months, and that's definitely home for me. I've been there for years, and I'm excited to go back and see some of the guys. Obviously, I got to see some of them at the combine, but there's a bunch of guys I didn't get to see, and just seeing some of the current players there as well.
It's always tough. I like talking about this a little bit, but you go to the combine in Indianapolis, you're getting, you know, you're running routes with quarterbacks you have never played with. You know, it's just it's a tough ask of wide receivers, in my opinion. I mean, so many of these routes are timing routes nowadays, and you got a quarterback that you just don't really know what to expect. I mean, that's got to be something exciting for you. Like, even though you did a great job and everything in Indy, you got to be ready to get back your own guys, get a feel for what they're going to do, and they know kind of what you're going to do in those routes.
Yeah. So actually, the guy I'll be throwing with is Ben Bryant. So he was a starting quarterback for us last year, you know. So it's for him. He knows how I run my routes. I know how he throws the ball. So it's easy. You know, the combine it was definitely a challenge, but I think it's kind of a showcase of why we're all meant to be pros. You know, everyone who's there is top 300. You know, we're all, like I say, should be pros, because pros are, you should be able to just do it. You should be able to wake up and do it out of your sleep. So the fact that you're able to go out there and catch balls from someone you haven't caught from your whole life, you know, you're lucky too if you got a quarterback at the combine, but some of your whole life, and vice versa, them throw to someone who you don't know how fast they're, you don't know how they run the routes. So it's good on both ends.
Also, I just feel like it, you know, the combine is kind of a, hey, you're going to do this at this for the pro day. You can kind of set it up, you know, run the routes that you like to run. And, well, you also do some things that I think teams want to see. You just, it's more of a comfortable feeling, I guess, is the way I'm trying to describe it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, for me, I like to think, go into things thinking I'm going to do everything. You know, I don't know what that may be, but everything, you know, so the whole route tree, you know, so that way when it comes and they only ask you to run four routes, they're easy, you know. So I think for me personally, what I personally like to do at the pro day is ask what routes they think that are my weakest and run those routes, you know what I mean, to show that, because I can run, you know, all the routes that I'm really good at 100 times, but show the ones that they don't think I'm the best at, you know, give them a good look at that.
And it's something, actually, I'm interested to ask you, but like, your return skills are top notch. You know, that's something I'm sure teams are showing a lot of interest in and showing a lot of value in. But at the combine, you don't get to do any of that stuff, do you? Like, they don't, I mean, if they don't show it on TV and anything like that.
You can punt return at the end, but okay. I did it at the Senior Bowl, so I was just going to wait.
Okay.
Today, so.
Right. So that's something that I feel like that's such a big part of your game coming in that, you know, you'll be able to go through those drills and show how that value that you bring to the table too is something you did so well at Cincinnati.
Right, for sure. Yeah, they'll definitely, I'm sure they'll definitely have that drill set up, and I will be doing it.
Are you, I know you, I mean, you tested off the charts. Are you going to redo any of your athletic testing at the Pro Day?
Yeah, I'll probably, you know, I'll probably do most of it. I probably won't do none of the jumping things just because, you know, I could, you know, I don't really need to, but
Right.
I can't remember the last time I ran a 4.4, so I kind of got to get that out to media. As far
You
as
mean
yeah,
that's slow for you?
oh yeah, 100%.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't ran a 4.4 in forever, and I don't know, like there's a lot going on about the combine, but like I you people will understand come pro day. So yeah, I'm kind of salty that out of my
And
mouth.
don't say like I don't mean to like, oh, I can't believe you're faster than that, because that's not what I mean. But like 4.4 is fast, and it's crazy to hear y'all just be like, I just talked to Tyler Scott a little bit ago too, and he was like, yeah, I'm 100% running. Like, that was the slowest I ran a 40 in a long time.
So I mean, then that's like my little brother. So we've talked about it a bunch, and now, but I think last year kind of, you know, the combine last year was wild. You seen a bunch of times, and then it ended up getting changed. So I think me personally, like, I mean, well, I'm not gonna say the exact time I ran down here, but I ran a time down here in Tampa in sweatpants. I would have been top two, you know, in the
Right.
combine. So I know I can do it. I've always done, like I said, I haven't ran that since middle school, well, not middle school, like freshman year of high school, you know what I mean?
Right.
So you know, I'm pretty, like I said, I'm salty to get that out of, you know, kind of out of the media, and get that. I'm gonna do all the three cone to shuttle. I didn't do it at the combine because that it was a gauntlet, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I want to do that, and I should do really well next, have really good change of direction, so I'm excited.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, you obviously probably met with a ton of teams at the Combine, Senior Bowl, all that. You know, so what's, you don't have to dive into it if you don't want to, but as far as like, is there any teams that are showing more interest, you know, follow-up meetings, Zoom meetings, you know, formal meetings type of deal with you than others?
Yeah, there's quite a there's I've said there's a lot of teams actually. You know, it's kind of a broad process. Like the NFL is tricky.
Yeah.
Always heard the notion you're gonna get drafted by someone who showed no interest into
Right.
you. So, you know, it's kind of hard for me to, you know, like yes, I have a lot of meetings set up. I'm gonna be pretty busy the day before Pro Day. I have meetings set up this week, so I'm doing that. Yeah, I'm doing all of that. So I can't specifically say
Right.
all of the, you know what I mean, just because I don't know how, but I can say I am doing a I'm meeting with the Bucks tomorrow. Yeah, and quite frankly, I can't remember. Well, I can remember, but yeah, I have a lot of teams set up the day before Pro Day, and I'll probably have some after, and then you kind of go about it that way. But yeah, man, I'm excited. You know, you think it's over with after the combine, but it's honestly just getting started. Like it's just
Right.
more. So yeah.
It was funny. I went back and listened to it today. So I interviewed Alec Pierce last year. And it was like right this same kind of time frame where it was like after the combine, before the pro day. And he was, you know, I was like, yeah, you get to like take a deep breath and, you know, catch your breath before the pro day. And he was like, no, that's the exact opposite, kind.
100%. I mean, it's you get back from the combine and it's like you hop right back into training. It's like depending on what you did, but you still have something to do at the combine. Yeah, I mean at the pro day. So
Right.
you can't just completely take it all off and just relax. No, because like I said, you have meetings, you have a bunch of stuff like that. So yeah, it really never stops.
You mentioned a lot of, you know, the meetings you're having with these teams, the conversations you're having with them. Obviously we know all the things you do well, and I want to ask that question first, but what's the feedback you're kind of getting from a, hey, we see this as being your strength, we see you playing this role type of deal, and then maybe on the flip side of that, what's some things that they say, hey, we want to see you improve on this, or we want to see, like you said earlier, like we want to see this route be run a little bit, you know, more crisp, like just kind of give us both sides of that coin.
So to start it off, I'd say, and I can tell you this, to start it off, I went into the Senior Bowl and I asked quite a few, well, majority of the teams that I met with. So I met with a lot of teams, I think all of them actually, but what they'd ask you at the end, like if you had time, if your meeting went really well, do you have any questions? I asked, what's my weakness to you guys? What do you guys want to see? Like going in, when you have me on your scouting report, you're saying this is his weaknesses, and this is like this week is going to make a break. And the weaknesses they said they had, they want to see if I can play outside, they want to see if I can get off press, and they want to see more route running ability. So I said, okay, you know what I mean, knowing that I can do those things, and And the feedback I got at the end of the Senior Bowl was you answer all those questions. So I would say the things that the teams are saying to me are basically you're very versatile. You can play inside. Your special teams ability is off the chart. Obviously, you know, I can return punts, return kicks, or play gunner. I played every special teams, but just a Swiss Army knife and a really good one, which is good for me. Good to hear that. And like I said, the weaknesses before, they were saying, we don't know if you get out pressed, because I saw a lot of off coverage in season.
Right.
You know, see the speed factor played into that. But I would see the secret to me was I would see it every day in practice, because that's how our defense plays. So to me, getting out pressed is easy. So that and running routes, like I said, a lot of our things in the season were schemed up, or, you know, right. We do certain things this way. So I might not get to showcase route, but I run a ton in practice. So that was kind of another thing to me, like, well, if that, okay. And but whatever I said, what did I say the last one? I said getting off press, running routes, and
playing outside.
Playing outside, yeah. So obviously, you know, Tyler Scott, you know, that's like my little brother. I mean, we were so good at every position that play outside as well, but he wouldn't play slot. And I wouldn't play, you know what I mean? So we were so interchangeable. Like, go play the slot. I can go play it outside, but we just didn't need to have to do it. So that was the thing for me. It was just like, okay, cool. So those are my big three emphases. Oh, and a fourth one to add, they wanted to see if I can fluidly catch punts, because there's a big notion about, well, why are you good on kick return, but you've returned punts. But so I answered that. Coach Tomlin at the Steelers, he was on me hard there at that week about catching the punts. Pretty much just teaching me to do the right thing with it, you know, and I really appreciate that from him. We kind of have a little history right there as well. But, yeah, I really appreciated that from him. Yeah, so those are the things, and those are the teams are saying. So it's kind of fun for me because, like I said, I feel like I crushed the Senior Bowl, which was what I was intending to do, and I did well at the Combine. So now I think the things for me at Pro Day would just be, like I said, just more elusive route running. Like, I'm not just going to stop, maybe – do some stutter digs. Let's, you know, start adding a little, you know, flavor to the route that they're like, wow, you know what I mean? Because I can run the route regularly out of my sleep. But just make sure I do that, man. And yeah. And then just, you know, show you can catch the ball fluently. I mean, it doesn't matter how good a route runner you are if you can't catch the ball.
Absolutely.
So yeah, and just continue to harp on my special teams ability. So
yeah, and I mean, again, like, you turn on your tape, you see the special team stuff, and that's top notch. And then you watch it just, I mean, again, you played out of the slot a lot at Cincinnati, but I think I was just actually talking about this with Tyler not too long ago, but, you know, it's so funny because when I'm writing a scouting report, you know, these teams are doing it too. Like, a lot of the weaknesses or cons that they put down, it's not necessarily a weakness or a con. It's just something that maybe you didn't get the opportunity to show. And I feel like that's unfair to you guys a lot of the time, because, and it happens all the time, and maybe more so sometimes at receiver, but like more so, you know, you see guys playing, you know, like five technique, or like, you know, playing inside in a 3-4 when they should be playing, you know, seven technique in a even front or something like that. It's just, for me, it's always a tough job. I mean, it's a tough job to get these things right, but it's unfair knocks at times. I think you get guys who will knock guys for their, you know, not running the full route tree. Well, you know, you're not playing in a pro style offense that actually, and you guys do play in that kind of pro style offense. So you do run a lot of routes, but it's just, I don't know, so much of the game's projecting. And I think when you look at how quick you are, how twitched up you are, you know, that ability to get in and out of your breaks and all that, it correlates to a lot of those things that you were saying people were wanting to see more from you. So you guys got Pro Day coming up next week. You're going to do the runs again. You're going to do all the drills again. I know you mentioned you got some visits scheduled up. Have you had any 30 visits yet? And I'm assuming that's kind of on the list for you.
Yeah, not yet. I don't know when those officially start. I'm not sure if they start after your pro day or they can just start anytime after the combine. So I'm not sure yet. You know, like, talking to my agent, you know, there's no really rhyme or reason why guys have them. Like, I know Alec Pierce, I don't think he had any last year. You know,
I listened to the interview earlier today and he was like, I don't really have anything on schedule. And I feel like the 30 visits have kind of fallen off a little bit recently, just because you get, for like seniors, you get Senior Bowl to meet with these guys, you get the Combine to meet with these guys, you can meet with them via Zoom. Like, it's not as, it's like for the guys who didn't go to Indy or didn't go, you know, maybe didn't get a chance to do much at their pro day, you bring them in and have them checked and all that.
So that's kind of, as I said, there's no rhyme or reason. And I'm kind of thinking that way as well. Like, it's like, I did the Senior Bowl. I did the Combine. Right. Yeah, my pro day, you can meet with me Zoom. So, like, there's a lot of exposure to me already. So, you know, so kind of agree with what you're saying.
I want to get into a little bit of, you know, we talked about like the route running and all that, but the routes that you really like to run. I think that that's such an important thing with receivers coming in the NFL is just being able to not only run the full route tree, but run that full route tree well. Separating nowadays is the most important thing offenses really look for, you know, that explosiveness. And normally if you're fast and you're explosive, you can separate. But a lot of that comes with just the techniques of routes and all that. So I wanted you to break down just like, what are some things that you do to set up DBs, you know, when you run some of these inside breaking routes, like what are you taking things from them that you're seeing that you're going, okay, I'm going to do this. If they do this, just take us through, like you run a post route, like how are you setting DBs up and how are you kind of attacking their weaknesses there?
Yeah. So like if I'm running a post route, I mean, the first thing I'm looking at is, you know, their leverage, you know, that's the biggest thing. I mean, assuming we're talking about man coverage, if he's inside leverage, and like it's so, I would say it's not one-on-ones where you can just free fall the route. Like there's so many things that go into the route, like based off of what the route outside of you is, what's your landmark. So I mean, a bunch of things, but just to break it down, I mean, I look at his leverage, he's inside leverage, you know, and you have a post, which is an in-breaking route. You want to either steal some leverage from him and take it over the top of him, or you want to, you know, I push vertical and invite him to you. Cause a guy who's playing inside leverage, and you're running right vertical down the field, he's not going to stay inside the whole time. He's going to come to you. And then you kind of just made him think you're blowing gas down the field and you break it across his face, you know? So assuming it's man coverage and, you know, you're able to do that, that's kind of the two things I like to do. Look at his leverage. And the best thing you can do is manipulate a DB's leverage. Unless they're playing head up, then it's best release. But like if he's playing outside leverage, inside leverage, you know what I mean? You just manipulate his leverage. So like the outside leverage version of it, you know, you push at him outside, make him think you're going outside because obviously they're playing where they don't want you to go. So threaten that, you know, really threaten that. And then, you know, put your foot in the ground and, you know, separate.
One thing that I always kind of pick up on when watching film and you know, not doing it at the level that you guys did it out, but I love the way that guys use, you know, their eyes. You know, it's hard to see when you're wearing a helmet, but just the ability to kind of, like you said, manipulate with your head, your eyes, which way you're going. That's something that I noticed with you and Tyler a lot at Cincinnati is you guys do a really good job of that, is kind of giving that faint, you know, turn to the left when you want them to kind of break to the left and then you're going to break it back in across their face. Is that something that you spend a lot of time on, is just kind of using your eyes and your headset to kind of fool guys, I guess is the easiest way to say it?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you think about it. Well, the first thing receivers do, like if I'm a receiver and I'm looking at a DB before the play starts, you know, all DBs think that they're disciplining their eyes and they're looking at your hips, you know, all that. But majority of DBs look up at you. They look at your eyes.
Right.
And I always say eyes tell lies. Yes. So, you know, if I can have my eyes, you know, my head going one way, they're thinking I'm going that way. Because that's undisciplined DB. So, you know what I mean? So, yeah, eyes tell lies. So, you know, really head fakes, all that. It just – all it takes is very sudden, subtle movements. Just because, like I said, just DBs tend to look at you know, faces. If you're looking at the ground, then they're knowing, like, hey, he's probably coming out of his break. You know, if you're looking to the right, he's probably breaking right. But now when you're able to look to the right and break left, that's when you become really dangerous. So, yeah, that's something that, you know, we kind of add in. We call it sauce, you know what I mean? So just add that in, you know, just make sure you even – it just takes that separation that you'd get blown by a guy just that much more. You know what I mean? So
– absolutely. No, absolutely. All right. I can tell watching you play, you're a really confident guy. It shows up, showed up at Senior Bowl. It shows up all the time on tape too. I gotta ask you to put the humble hat on real quick. What's somebody you played against at Cincinnati DB that just you're like, damn, that guy was good. You know, he had my number that day or something like that. Just something like, what's a DB you went up against where after that game you were like, that kid's good.
Saying, I mean, shoot, that's a big thing. You know, I'd say. You know what? There was a guy from Indiana this year, smaller guy. His name was Noah Pierce. Just, you know, kind of, you know, but I'm not like the dude was good. I mean, he was physical, you know what I mean? And I'm a physical player. So,
right.
Like trying to put fire out with fire. But I mean, dude was just, he was really physical, you know, he was really good, you know, and he, you know, you could just tell he's a football player. You know, and I even, you know, we were talking a little trash to each other during the game. And I just remember telling him after, like, hey, man, you're really good, bro. Keep it up. You know what I mean? You're going to go kill the Big Ten. Cause you know, they were undefeated at the time.
Right.
You know, I just remember people asking me, and I'm like, well, Noah Pierre. And there's another guy too, at Tulane, Macon Clark. I mean, dude is really good. And, you know, he actually was talking trash to me before the game. And like, I wasn't saying anything because I had respect for him. Like, look, hey, you know, I respect your game, bro. And after the game, just talking, I was like, hey, bro, you're probably, he was more of a safety nickel guy.
Right.
Safety. And then the Noah Pierre guy from Indiana was a nickel. Both two really tremendous players. And I'm excited to see their journey.
So you're saying, are you a trash talker? Do you give it back? Or are you more just, I'll let the game speak for itself?
See, I go in between. You know, I think I always say you have to turn me up. You know what I mean? But I'm already turned up, but just in a way, like I'm more of like, you know, like I'm ready to make a play.
Right.
But then like what I don't like is that, like, if you're talking trash before like everything starts, like if you talk trash before it starts, right, or like you haven't done anything, you know, then you're talking trash. It's like, bro, like, you got to be able to, you know, like, back up what you're saying. You know what I mean? So, but I respect, man, if you're doing your thing out there, I respect it. Like, hey, you know, you got it. You know what I mean? That's the one thing I always say, give people their props.
What's the worst and the best trash talk you've ever had?
The worst trash
talk? That said to you or something you gave to, like, what's just, somebody said something to you and you're like, that made zero sense, was not cool, like that, you, awful.
Man, I honestly couldn't even tell you. There's so many. I mean, the crazy thing is I'm a receiver, so maybe we're in a tight split. You can – oh, man, oh, gosh. You can just hear the D-line and the linebackers. Like, I mean, one thing I'll say, it wasn't towards me, but it was actually I'll say
– You don't have to put anybody on the spot either.
I'll just put it like this. A quarterback we had, not this year, but the year before, he was under center. And, you know, they always say, you know, hey, watch the mic or – you know, or hey, like Mike point for Mike's the 42's the mic, 42's the right. Mic. You know, our quarterback, you know, said something, blah, 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 42, blah, 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 42, which he was saying to number 42. We fumble the ball on the 1 yard line. Under, we fumble the snap. All we have to do is take a knee. Fumbles the ball. The guy gets it. And I mean, we almost lose the game. And I think that was so funny because we all laugh about it now, but we're all thinking like, we're all laughing about it. And like, wait, we just fumbled the ball. Now that guy's like, I mean, he just erupted. The guy said so many words in a minute that you just couldn't even think was possible. And he had the football, which was like, made it even worse. And he took our football to his sideline. And I'm sure he still has it. But the trash talk is wild, man. Like, you could just be out there like running and we bust a big play, or like they bust a big play, or like they make a big play. And like, you just hear like so much going on and you chime in a little bit. And then the guy way across the field comes over. Hey, number one, you like, you weren't even guarding me. You know what I mean? it's crazy, man. I couldn't specifically say one thing, but yeah.
Oh, I always like asking that question because you get some really bad, like not even like bad as in like, you know, dark humor or anything like that, but just people just, like you said, like a play happens and they try to think of something real quick and it just ends up making no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. And then like, but yeah, man,
I know it was a while ago, but I'm curious, you know, Senior Bowl, you obviously played a bunch of DBs there. Does anybody stand out from you from there that they had a good week at Senior Bowl?
DB wise?
Yeah.
I thought Sidney Brown from Illinois was really good. I think their DB corps was crazy. I mean, they got a
– it's a DB draft for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So they got to protect the first-round guy over there. Then they got another guy that I went against. I thought he did really well. I ran like a spade route against him on the 20-yard line, and he did – I thought he did really well. Another guy from Maryland I thought was well. But I thought Sidney Brown overall from Illinois was really good. And I only went against him once, but I got to watch him against practice. And it was funny because they threw me the ball and I didn't catch it. He comes over and he's like, bro, you are fast. I'm like, bro, you are good. You know what I mean? So it was just cool to give each other props right there, man. But it was fun to watch them this year, actually, because they had a pretty good year.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt, no doubt. All right, man, I got a couple more for you and then we'll get you out of here. I want to get you – so we talked a lot about what you bring to the table, you know, some of the things that, you know, you heard from teams you want to improve on, some things you're working on. What's a player that you kind of – I mean, I hate to say model your game after because I feel like so many guys nowadays are so big, so athletic that they can kind of pull bits and pieces from, you know, different guys who've played in the NFL. But if you had to kind of take a guy and go, hey, yeah, I kind of mirror my game after him, or I like to pull things from this guy and that guy, who would those guys be?
Definitely Tyreek Hill is the first foremost guy. I mean, just – I literally got a whole cut up of Tyreek Hill in my hot folders of college. You know what I mean? I watch everything he does. You know what I mean? Jamar Chase, like, I'm not tall as Jamar Chase, but like, right, just how he's the thing I like about him is his physicality. Like, the dude does not, he doesn't, he's like, his speed is very viable. Like, he catches the ball, you're not going to catch him. But he, like, invites contact, you know, and you see a lot of people who try to avoid it, but he invites it. And I like to take that from his game, you know what I mean? It's kind of like a switch up for me.
Right.
You
know?
I'd say be able to play super physical and then be able to play super fast. You know, you kind of keep the DBs on their toes, because I think if you're a one-trick pony, it's very, you're very easy to guard. Same for a DB, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I'd say Jamar Chase, Tyreek Hill, and someone who I really like who's, you know, kind of – you know, like, or I like Jarvis Landry as well. I mean, dude's wild, but that's kind of like people wouldn't expect is Cooper Kupp. I mean, the dude is just, he's a technician. You know, yeah. What I mean, Rams offense is really cool, and the Rams really like me as well. So that's one of the teams I'll be meeting with as well. But yeah, just watch him in the offense and watch how he works. It's sweet.
All right, so now I'm going to ask you to do my. You're going to do my job for me. And in my scouting reports, I always try to come up with like a, you know, player comp. So like, you know, you take stuff for those guys, but if you had to like compare yourself to a player, so like similar height, similar athletic testing, similar route running, who do you think that would be?
I feel 100%.
I like it. Cool, man. Yeah. This was awesome. Like I said, I'm a big fan of your game a lot. Like I said, you played a lot in the slot at Cincinnati, you know, like I said, like that's kind of, I think, you know, like you said, where teams might view you at, but I think you have that outside versatility, that inside versatility, special teams versatility, like the value you bring to a team in a draft, I think is really, you know, high level. And that's what the draft's about, is finding value and your ability to play inside, play outside, play special teams. It's something that you can't find with everybody, because you might find some receivers that can be the X, but they can't play special teams. And if you move them in the inside, they can't do that stuff. So it's like I said, that value is top notch for you. And I'm excited to see where you end up.
Appreciate that. Thank you for having me on here, for real. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man, this was great. Like I said, we're excited to see what you guys do next week at the pro day. I know you'll be looking to run even faster, which is just insane to me. Like I said, it's crazy. We're 2023, we hear 4.4, and you're like, man, that's way too slow. I got to run faster.
Look, I'm ready to run pretty fast. So.
And you don't want to give us any sort of hint of what that's going to be.
No, I don't like to give that. You know what I mean? I didn't even tell people, like, that's the reason why, because you go out there and, you know, I tell you something and like somehow I run a 4.4 and I'm like, okay, so, you know, I like to keep it a secret, man, but I'm feeling really good. Not saying I wasn't at the combine, but I'm feeling right. Really good.
Combine's a hectic situation, man. It's
yeah, it's a grind, you know, but I'm feeling good. The pro disease, you show up, you weigh in, you go run, you know what I mean? So I'm excited about that. I'll be in my city with my guys, you know, not saying the guys, I met a lot of great guys at the combine that it's pretty cool meeting with, but you know, these are your guys you play for years with, you know what I mean? Cheer them on, and them cheering you on special. So I'm excited to get back.
Less stressful, I think, is the easiest way to say it. Trey, this is awesome, man. Thanks so much. We'll like I said, we'll check in on you next week. See how you do at the pro day, and be following you really closely this next month or so. Like I said, drafts a little every month away, so we're excited to see you end up, and excited to see this journey.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, thank you so much.